يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. أطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no institution, there is no foundation, there is no relationship in the eyes of Allah that has been founded on earth more sacred and more beloved to him and cherished by him than the institution of marriage. مَا بُنِيَ بِنَاءٌ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنَ التَّزْوِيجِ. That is the most honored in the eyes of Allah. So if you want to have your Lord pleased with you, what should you do? What's the answer? Not for those very young, you know. Give it two more years here. But for those who are sitting in the back, you need to have it after Safar, inshallah, the month of Safar. Do not delay that. That is the most honorable act in the eyes of Allah. مَا بُنِيَ بِنَاءٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنَ التَّزْوِيجِ. Family is the most sacrosanct institution in the society. It's the building blocks of the society. If family excel and prosper, the rest of the society prosper. If the family fails, the rest of the family fail. The rest of the society fail. Today, social scientists and family scholars are asserting that the family, especially in the West, is in deep trouble, is in deep crisis. The family values are in decline, constant decline. What is the solution to that? The family has two faces and two dimensions. One is the bright, the other is dark. The bright side of the family is that it represents love, intimacy, respect, trust among the people. It is a haven where individuals escape the dehumanization of this society and seek refuge in the family, where they find much respect, much love and attention. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Allah says, if you need to get rest, some rest. If you need to relax, if you need to escape the tension in the community, in the society. The uncaring society, the impersonal, modern culture. Then go to the family. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah, the creator, the designer. He created, He installed among your hearts much attention, love and mercy. مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And this is how the family should be. This is the Islamic family. In the Islamic family, we don't find good meals, hot meals. In the Islamic family, we find caring hearts, compassion, attention, forgiveness. This is the essence of the Islamic family. On the other hand, family has a dark side, of course. Today, social scientists again assert that family in the East and the West, both, everywhere on the earth, family is a dangerous zone. Family becomes today a common context for violence in the society. It is in the family, not in the street, people are most likely to be verbally abused, physically assaulted, emotionally humiliated, psychologically degraded and downgraded by a member of a family, by a father, by a mother, by a husband, by a wife, by a brother, someone related to them, someone in the family. In the family, not outside the family. Many times, family conflict gives way to tension and violence. In the United States of America, I don't know about surveys elsewhere. A survey tells you in America, every 12 seconds, a female is beaten by her husband or her partner. Every 12 seconds. I don't know about the rate here in this country. I don't know about the rate in Islamic societies. We don't have any published surveys. That's what happens in the most modern society today, the most democratic. This is one aspect of democracy. They tell you that with the exception of the military, family is the most dangerous zone, most dangerous social setting. The family, where it is supposed to be a safe haven and refuge for the hearts and the souls of the people. And then, if you look at the past and the present, in the past, ask your father, ask your grandfather. In the past, three generations used to live in one house under one roof. Three generations. All in close proximity. Today, at the present time, two individuals cannot live under one roof. Two individuals. And if they live separated from each other. Physically present, spiritually, emotionally, far away from each other. Today, the rate of divorce in certain countries is 50%. One in two marriages, especially the first marriage, is headed for divorce and separation. 50% in some states and some countries, it goes to 70%, 80%. Who are the victims? Who pays the price here? Why is divorce? Why is separation? What are the reasons? Of course, if you ask a social scientist, a social commentator, he would tell you that there are many factors contributing to divorce and the dissolution of the families. One of them is lack of education. One of them is lack of responsibilities. One of them is race, ethnicity, poverty. And others, of course, consider that the increase social And financial independence of women is also contributing to the high rate of divorce. I'm not talking only about the West, even in the Muslim countries today. The common understanding is that man is the breadwinner. God created man just to bring money home. This is his responsibility. Wives and women are dependent on their fathers and husbands for financial assistance, for money and food. Today, women are working, they are making money, and in some cases they are making more than their husbands and their partners. So why should they need a man in their life? Forgetting that the reason of marriage is not economics only. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about marriage, I want you to understand this. Because many of you, when you are asked, why don't you get married? The first answer is what? What is the first answer? No money. I have no money. I have to build myself. This is the first answer. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about marriage, He says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا So you may find shelter, emotional, psychological shelter. Shelter. Emotional shelter. Not physical shelter. Not financial shelter. Emotional shelter. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً You need a partner not to cook food for you or not to give you the credit card so you can go to the market and buy. You need a partner for your intellectual, spiritual, emotional growth. You need a partner for your development, for your evolvement. This is why we need a partner. This is why it is necessary. الزواج النكاح سنتي فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. It is not a luxury. That if we have money, then we don't need a partner. I become independent. Why should I need a husband? Why should I need a wife? It's not a luxury. النكاح سنتي. It's one of the most formidable pillars of Islam. This is how we grow. Without it, you do not have a full growth. Something is missing in your life. Something is missing. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً This is the reason. So they come and tell you that some women believe that I have money, I don't need a husband to guard me, to protect me, to sustain me. But it's not. Marriage is not about money, my brothers and sisters. Money comes the last. Respect, understanding, emotions, trust, love, harmony. These are the essence of an Islamic marriage. But then, they also tend to forget another important, sociologists tend to forget another important element of divorce, which contributes, and that is in my mind the real reason for the highest rate of divorce today in the world. For the increasing high rate of divorce. This is the reason. What is the reason? They don't tell you that at university, at the school. But this is what you see in the society. This is what you observe. This is what you feel. It's the moral decline of the society. It is the degradation of religious and family values. It's the degeneration of men and women. It is the sexual promiscuity in the society. This is the real reason. Today men and women have more freedom. They both leave the house at 7 a.m. going to their office. They work in a mixed session. He sees other people and she sees other people. Whatever fun, sense of humor, energy, attention we have, we don't give it to our spouses. Because we are not at home. We leave home early in the morning, we come late at night. We give it to whom? To those who work with us. To those who study with us in the classroom or work with us. To those who we share the room with them. Whatever energy and attention we have, we give it to them. When you come home, your energy is expired. Your sense of humor is nothing. It's dead. So rather than giving kisses and hugs to your wife, she listens to your snoring. This is what she gets from you. We are tired. We go home tired. We have no time to talk to each other. Even when people go home in the evening, what is the common practice in the evening at home? Tell me. Flipping the TV channels. One of them is sitting watching this channel, the other is watching another channel. One of them is chatting on the phone, the second is chatting on the internet, talking to other friends. A friend was telling me that, he says, when my wife calls me, the maximum time I would give her is 60 seconds. But another female friend calls me, I'll give her 60 minutes. This is a reality. We don't pay attention to each other. This is a convenient marriage. We think marriage is just for bed and for food. Bed and breakfast. In fact, a sister came to me, she said, I wish my husband considers the house bed and breakfast. He just considers the house bread and breakfast. Just when he is hungry. He does not come in the evening, no bed. Doesn't come in the evening. I see him when he is hungry. This is one of the serious problems which is contributing to separation and the decline of the society and the high rate of divorce. What are the ramifications of divorce? Consequences of divorce? What happens? Obviously, all parties involved, they suffer. All parties. The husband, the wife, children, but in particular children, they pay the highest price. It affects them more than the parents. Today, in the United States of America, every year, every new year, we have 1 million child. 1 million is involved in a new divorce. Imagine, every year, we have 1 million in new children who are involved in a new divorce. 25% of children today, they live with a single parent. Just a single parent. The other one is missing. Of course, divorce is not the only reason. Divorce is not the only reason of a single parent family. There are other reasons. One of them is unwed mothers. Especially teen pregnancies. Teens who get pregnant at the age of 14, 15, 16. You go to certain countries, you go to a classroom where they have these, you know, teenagers who are unwed, who had a relationship, who had kids. In the classroom, there are 20 mothers sitting. Next room, there is a nursery. There are 40 kids who belong to those mothers. The number of the kids is almost double the number of the mothers. And you ask, who's the father? The father is missing. The father is missing. The father is not there. And imagine if the biological father is missing from the life of his child. You would think that a stepfather will come and compensate that child with love, attention and care. Biological father is on the run. Of course, another boyfriend, another father, a hired father would not do the job here. This is one reason. Teen pregnancy. And do you know that every year in the United States there is 1 million cases of abortion only and only by teenagers. Only by teenagers, 1 million cases of abortion. Abortion is killing in Islam. Islam says whether the soul is 8 years old, 50 years old, 10 years old, 1 month old or still unborn. It's a human soul. The unborn soul has a potential of becoming a respected, integrated human being. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Be very careful of that. I know it's happening even among Muslim communities, in Muslim societies, even in Muslim countries, they have abortion. This is a killing. And believe me, abortion has long, long ramification. You would not get away with that. Don't think that if you do that, nobody will realize, nobody will know about it, and God will easily forget you. This is murder. This is killing. You are not killing an insect. You are killing a human being. You can't get away with that. Be very careful with what you do. Therefore, don't sell your body. Don't be cheated. Don't be fooled. Be very careful. A person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Says to him, Ya Rasulullah, tell me, what is the best thing to do to be always safe, not to get involved in sins and sinful acts? The Prophet tells him, إِذَا, once you contemplate on doing anything, فَفَكِّرْ فِي عَاقِبَتِهِ. First, think about the consequences. What happens after that? Today is a joyful moment. We are intoxicated, we are dancing together, we are in one room watching a bad movie, and the shaitan is there. Shaitan goes, pushes us to do something. But what is after that? What will happen? Are we going to be happy after that? Most likely you will be. You will feel remorse and regret. So don't do that. Control yourself. Always think about the ramifications, what will happen next. Not at that moment. At that moment, people are intoxicated. At that moment, people are insane. That is the absence of reason. So think about what will happen. Maybe this very brief act would lead your life into long tragedy. Think about that. So, the other social problem that we have today, we Muslims, Muslims here in England, Muslims in America, Muslims in the Middle East, another factor which is contributing to the single parent family beside the teen's pregnancy, the other one is the irresponsibility of fathers today. There are fathers who physically live with their families, but they are irresponsible. They neglected their families. They relinquished the custody of their children. Sometimes they are even physically absent from the lives of their children. He got married, and one day I'll speak about this inshallah, soon in 2-3 nights. One of the major responsibilities of marriage. He got married, but he does not appreciate the meaning and the responsibilities of marital life in Islam. He made several children, but he's irresponsible. He does not see them. Either he's traveling, he lives far away, or he's busy with another fun in his life. That's a major problem. That leads into the delinquency of the whole family. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. When Ibrahim alayhi salam prays, he says, رَبِّ اجْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. If you want to make me a good believer in you, then you have to join my family with me. Don't leave my family alone. I don't want to pray to you alone. I want to pray with my family. I want my kids to be with me. I want to have the same faith. Brothers and sisters, the Muslim family, the ideal Muslim family is the family that stays together here and in the hereafter. Not only here. This life is too short. So you need to see your kids, your partner, in that life as well. You have to be together here. A separation here leads into a major separation there. If we cannot gather them here, it will be unlikely to gather them there. There is very confusing, very crowded. So you have to stay with them here. Those who leave the family, neglect their responsibility. I was told by an increasing number of mothers, Muslim mothers today, that I live with my kids, the father is absent. One father was telling me, I appreciate if you turn off your cell phones, please. A father was telling me, he was leaving his family, going with a friend, a female friend, and he has several kids. He was telling me, listen, Sayyid, I'm not abusing them. I left enough money for my wife to enjoy. I buy her the best car. She has the best mansion. I said to him, this is not marriage. This is not what she wants from you. This is not what she wants from you. She wants care, attention, and love. She wants you. Not a piece of metal there. Not some blocks here, which are called house. The right house in Islam is not the house which has a very magnificent structure. The house in Islam, the real house in Islam, is the house which has a magnificent relationship, pure relationship among the members of that house. Many people think that the essence of life is just to give her some food, drink, house, car, and I can have my fun. This is wrong. They need you, your heart, your attention, your soul. Therefore, let me go back to divorce, to the issue of divorce. Divorce comes with a package. You may ask me, Sayyid, why do I mention divorce? Because I see we live in a society that they perceive the best solution for marital relationship is the separation and divorce. That's the perfect solution. Once they quarrel in the beginning of their marriage, they mention the subject of divorce. And this is very dangerous. If you get married, inshallah, and you get angry with your partner, not inshallah, of course. Inshallah, you won't. But once you get angry, try to avoid this term, divorce or separation. Don't say that. The best partner. So, we live in a society that we have to be very careful of our social relationships. I hope it would not never happens to anyone. But you have to be prepared. You have to know the consequences. It comes with a package. It comes with a feeling of desperation, remorse, regret, sense of guilt, low self-esteem, depression, loneliness, sometimes sense of rejection, alienation. This is the package of divorce. Be careful. Islam is not saying divorce is forbidden. الطلاق أبغض الحلال إلى الله. Islam is not saying what you do is haram. In certain cases, divorce is unavoidable. When relationship proves to be incompatible, harmony and understanding is missing, there is an empty marriage, there is a high conflict marriage, there is a tension-filled household, Islam says here, we don't want you to suffer. Many women come and say, why should I stay in this marriage? I find no love, no harmony, no attention, no progress, no hope, nothing left for me here. If this is the case, Islam does not want to abuse you. Islam do not want you to suffer. Islam says the essence of marriage is harmonious togetherness. If this is unfound, then that is a very failed marriage. But what Islam says, you should not rush into separation and divorce. You should not have it as a first choice in your life. Especially when you have kids. Because this is responsibility. Marriage is a responsibility that Allah, the Exalted, wants us to struggle through it so we can reach paradise. This is your test in this life. This is your task in this life. Life is not easy. We have to struggle in this life. For the better reward, for a better price. And maybe Allah is testing you sometimes. Some people are tested in their health, in their business, in their money, and sometimes in their marital life. You have to be patient here. You have to teach your partner, if he is your husband or she is your wife. You have to teach him or her patience, endurance, forbearance. You have to teach your children. Children, when they see their parents are really suffering, but stay together. They still stay together. You know how much they're going to admire you? Your kids, when they grow up, they're going to admire you. Your son will come to you one day and tells you, Mom, I know how much you suffered, but you stayed because of us, because of the togetherness, the unity of the family. This is your jihad, this is your struggle. Everything we should do in this life is for one end, one goal. What is that goal in this life, brothers and sisters? Whether it is marriage, whether it is family, whether it is business, whether it is education, whether it is traveling or staying, for one goal, what is that goal? قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ بِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ It's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah observes your life and observes your suffering. Islam says, I'm not against divorce, but I am against the hastiness, rushing into divorce, considering as a first choice, not giving enough time for reconciliation, peace, and forgiveness. This is what we are against. Islam says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَابْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا Listen, إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا If you feel rebellious on either side of the marriage, then send an arbiter. Here Islam is mandating us, according to some Muslim jurists, fuqaha, they say it is mandatory, it is a prerequisite before divorce and separation to go and find arbitration, reconciliation. Whether it is through family members, friends, scholars, experts, professionals, bring people. Let them help you before you go and rush for divorce. فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ يُرِيدَ If they are sincere in their intention, Allah will bring them back together. يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا Allah is the one who endows love, respect among the hearts. It's not me, it's not you. It's not the restaurant that you go to and spend some time in a romantic place. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says about marriage, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً جَعَلْ We threw this love into your hearts. It's not you, it's not your money, it's not the car that you, the fancy car that you drive. It's not the honeymoon that you go to. It's Allah. Be with Him and see how much love. And the more, and I'm going to mention this, inshallah, in two nights. The more your faith is deepened, the more you develop love, attention to your spouse and your children. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, let me shift now from divorce and family dissolution to another duty here of the youth, you, boys and girls, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Listen, والأرحام. And also fear Allah in something else. Other than marriage, there is something else. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. What is this thing? What is it? Arham, your kinship, your family, your extended family, your parents. And the closest arham to you, family members to you, that you have to connect with them, who are they? Your parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord has decreed. Your Lord says, He peered and paralleled His obedience to your parents' obedience. His pleasure to your parents' pleasure. They are equal. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Very equal. Kindness, respect to your parents. When that person comes to the Prophet and says to him, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا حَقُّ الْوَالِدِ عَلَيْهِ. What is the right of my father upon me? He says, حَقُّهُ عَلَيْكَ أَن تُطِيعَهُ مَا عَاشِ. His right on you is that you respect him and obey him, listen to him, try to please him as long as he lives. And of course, as long as he obeys Allah. If he wants to invite you to a mixed wedding, say, Father, I respect you and love you, but I can't come to this. Because my Lord and your Lord, my Creator and your Creator, forbade me from coming to this. I can't make it. I still respect you. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Don't listen to them, but still respect them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If your father tells you something wrong, do not obey him, but still respect him. Both, huh? Father and the mother, both parents. So the Prophet told him, you have to listen to him as long as he lives. قَالَ وَمَا حَقُّ أُمِّي عَلَيَّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is the right of my mother? Listen, the Prophet says to him, Hayhat, hayhat. How far, how impossible. You ask me something so difficult. There is no answer to it. Hayhat, hayhat. If you stand before her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, for the rest of your life, بعدد قطر المطر, for the rest of your life, ما أديت حق يوم واحد كنت في بطنها. You cannot even return to her the favor, the right, the price. You cannot even compensate her for one day and night you spent in her womb when she was carrying you during pregnancy. You can't. This is the right of mother. Be with them. If you have parents today, you have a big blessing. Ask those who lost their mothers and fathers. Ask them. They would tell you that our parents are the biggest blessing. Why do we come to this session? For a man who was so dutiful for his parents. For a sister who was so dutiful to her parents. Zainab alayhi salam. Salatul Rahim, so important. I want you, if you have several brothers and sisters in your family, I want you who's sitting here tonight to be the jewel of your family. I'm not asking you go and buy them gift. I'm not asking you go and give them your money. What I'm asking you is to respect them, is to be a good son, is to be humble before them. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا. Always address them in a term of honor, humility. Humiliate yourself before your parents. Even if you are much taller, much richer, much brighter, you have more education than your mother, probably your mother is illiterate. She did not go to Queen's College, for instance, or Oxford. But you are. Still, she is a mother. She is the reason of your creation. Allah wanted her to be the reason of your creation, your existence. Be dutiful to her, to both. صِلَةُ الرَّحِمْ تُزَكِّي الْأَمْوَالِ وَتُنْسِئُ الْأَجَلِ وَتَدْفَعُ الْبَلَاءِ وَتُسَحِّلُ الْحِسَابِ. It's not one or two. The benefits of connecting with your family, whether it's the immediate family or the extended family, brings you much income in this life, brings easiness into your reckoning on the Day of Judgment, prolongs your life, brings you much love and respect among the community. This is part of Salat al-Rahim. Tonight, I ask you before I conclude, I ask myself and ask you, brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters in Islam, in the tradition of Ahlul Bayt, if your relationship with your parents is not good, go tonight. If you can, tonight after this session. Go to your mother, go to your father. Go to your siblings. Go and tell them, I decided. Even if they are mistaken, even if they are wrong, be the good one, be the generous one, be the forgiving one. Be the one who always initiates peace. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Allah says, always say good to the people. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنًا. Always use the best approach. What is the best approach? The approach of forgiveness, reconciliation. This is not a loss. This is not a defeat. Don't say, I'm losing here. I'm being humiliated here. This is not. This is an honor for you. Go back to your parents. Tell them, I am at your service. I am your daughter, I am your son, I belong to you. If I have done anything wrong, Imam Hussein, Ali al-Akbar, Al-Abbas, Zainab al-Kubra, they instructed me to come to you, to come back to you, to be with you, to respect you. Make this a pledge now in your heart. Two brothers, young brothers, I will mention their story. Two young brothers. They were together. They were chased by the government of Bani Umayyah, Ibn Ziyad. You know, one of them showed his appreciation and his love and his care for his younger brother. They both were on the run, the children of Muslim Ibn Aqil. Look at Salat al-Rahim here, family values in Islam. Why do we cherish Imam Hussein and his companions? Because of their values. One of them, family values. They were on the run. They were jailed in Kufa. The two kids of Muslim ibn Aqil. Two youngsters. Small kids. First, after the day of Ashura, they were jailed for about 1 year in Kufa. And then after that, they were freed. And then again, they were captured. And both of them were beheaded. But one of them, the older one, before he was beheaded, he said to the jailer, to the executioner, he told him, listen, I have one request. If you want to kill us, then kill me first. They were in the jail for 1 year. The jailer did not recognize them. After 1 year, he came into the cell, giving them some food and drink. He saw them sitting and crying. They were so depressed and sad. He told them, what's wrong with you today? They said to him, listen man, you don't know us. You did not recognize us. But can we do we have peace and security if we tell you who we are? He said, of course, sure. They said, have you heard of Muhammad Rasulullah? He said, of course. Of course, he's my prophet. They said, he's related to us. We are related to the prophet. We are closely related to the prophet. We are the family of the prophet. Have you heard of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib? Of course, he's our uncle. Have you heard of Ali ibn Abi Talib? Of course, he's our uncle. We are the kids of Muslim ibn Aqil, the cousin of Imam Hussein. We were on the run and now we are jailed. So, they begged him to free them. The man was a good man, a noble man. He freed them. They were again on the run until for the second time they were arrested and jailed. And this time Ibn Ziyad sent his order for the jailer to execute them, to behead them on the bank of the Euphrates. While they were standing there, the older brother, he pleaded to the jailer not to kill them, but he said, this is an order, I have to do that. He received some gift or money, a return of killing them. The older one said, listen, if you decide to kill us, then begin with me. For two reasons. One is that this is my younger brother, and I cannot see my younger brother being slaughtered before my eyes. I can't see that. I have no guts to see my younger brother being slayed before me. The second reason, which is more important, is that إِنَّ أُمِّي أَوْدَعَتْ أَخِيَ الصَّغِيرَ أَمَانَةً عِنْدِي. When we were leaving the house in Kufa, my mother said, listen, I want you to hold his hand. This is the little boy, little brother. You have to take care of him. You should not put him in danger. Do everything you can to protect his life. So now I want to fulfill the wish of my mother. I cannot betray my mother. So come and kill me. فكنا من السجن بالله يا سجان احنا ولاد مسلم والدهر خان فكنا من السجن بالله يا سجان احنا ولاد مسلم والدهر خان فكنا من السجين واحنا نجازيك وابونا المرتضى من الحوض يسجيك وباجر باجر من لهيب النار يحميك. It did not work. Their pleading did not work. He beheaded them and he threw the bodies into the river Euphrates. While Imam Hussein was coming back from Medina, from Mecca to Karbala, he received the news of Muslim ibn Aqil. Traditionally, this night belongs to Muslim alayhi salam. While he was on the way, he received the news of Muslim, the martyrdom of Muslim. He came into the tent. Muslim had another 4 girls with his wife. His wife was the sister of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He had 2 boys and 2 girls. One of them, her name was Hamida. Imam Hussein came into the tent. He asked his sister, which is the wife of Muslim ibn Aqil, to receive Hamida. Hamida came to him. Imam Hussein embraced her and kissed her. She said to him, Ya Am, Ya Aba Abdullah, Araka tasna'u bima yusna'u bil aytam. What happened? Bad news from my father. My father is missing. He said to her, don't worry, Ya Hamida. If your father is missing, then I'll be your father. My sisters will be your aunts. My daughters will be your sisters. You are not alone here. قالت بلا بلا يا أبا عبد الله ولكن ما أحلى أن ينادي الأب باسم ابنته. I miss my father. I want my father to call my name, to call me and embrace me. Muslim ibn Aqil عليه السلام was sent by Imam Hussein on an expedition to go to Kufa and evaluate the situation in Kufa. Because Imam Hussein, when he was in Mecca, he received thousands, according to some historians, 12,000 invitation letters. Only in the city of Mecca, inviting him to come to Kufa and lead the popular uprising against the Umayyad dynasty. Imam Hussein alayhi salam decided, since he has received this much letters and people are promising him, أَقْبِلْ إِلَيْنَا يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ أَيْنَعَتِ الثِّمَارِ وَاخْضَرَّ الْجِنَابِ وَإِنَّمَا تُقْدِمُ عَلَى جُنْدٍ لَكَ مُجَنَّدَ. Come, the land has turned green, flowers have blossomed, people are ready to support you, receive you and help you. He decided that, let me send Muslims. Muslim will go there and inform me about the real situation. Muslim being the first cousin of Imam Hussein, number one. Number two, Muslim was raised in the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen along with Hassan and Hussein. So he had much affinity and a close relationship with the two Imams, Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein. And third, Muslim was a very wise person, sage and wise. And Imam says about him, "Wal mufaddal, my confidant, my favorite of my family, the favorite in my family." So Imam Hussein trusted his wisdom. He sent him, came, he left Mecca, went to Medina to bid farewell to his family. Salla fi masjid Rasulullah, did the prayers in the masjid, and headed immediately from Medina to Kufa. Arrived in Kufa, people received him with open arms. They gave him their allegiance, the pledge of support. In the first few days, he had 18,000 supporters who pledged allegiance to him. He wrote a letter to Imam Hussein that people here are ready to support us. Soon, Yazid ibn Muawiyah, who was in Damascus at that time, he realized that Kufa is getting out of control, the control of Bani Umayyah. He sent Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. Ubaidullah was a very brutal governor who used to be in Basra. Yazid deposed the governor of Kufa. He transferred and shifted Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad from Basra to Kufa. And he asked him to rush to Kufa because Muslim is there and the situation is out of control. Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad came all the way from Basra to Kufa. He entered the city. He went to the central mosque. He stood there. He gave a very fiery speech. He intimidated people and he said to them, "Listen, if I know that a single person, individual of you, is with Muslim or hiding him, giving protection to him, his blood will be lawful." So, at that moment, people started to leave Muslim. Muslim at that time was in the house of Al-Mukhtar al-Thaqafi. He, after that, he moved to the house of Hani ibn Urwa. Then Ibn Ziyad realized through one of the spies that he is hiding in the house of Hani. He summoned Hani to the court. In the court, he asked Hani ibn Urwa to bring him Muslim ibn Aqil. Hani said, "Impossible. He is my guest, and I would never hand him to you." So he detained Hani in the prison, and then he started his search. Ibn Ziyad started his search through his agents for Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim could not stay in the house of Hani. This is very brief, the story of Muslim ibn Aqil. It has many other details. Muslim left the house of Hani ibn Urwa. Hani was one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and one of the close disciples of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. He went to find another refuge. People were with him. He entered the masjid to do the prayers. He had 300 disciples with him. By the time he finished the prayers and he left the masjid, he had no one around him. No one even to lead him and show him the way. Hani is a native of Medina. He ended up in Kufa. Kufa is an
unfamiliar territory for Hani, for Muslim. Ibn Aqil, therefore he was searching for a place. He started walking in the alleyways of Kufa until he became very thirsty. So he stood at the doorstep of a lady. He knocked at the door. A lady came up to him by the name of Tawa. Tawa is very unknown. Nobody knows her. But listen, look at her noble act. This lady has been immortalized, eternalized. Her name is being, her courage and her service to Allah and dedication to Allah is being celebrated and remembered every single year by thousands of speakers in many languages, in hundreds of thousands of places on earth. Tawa. Because of her noble act. Because of her help to Muslim ibn Aqil. He stood there. She opened the door. She saw a man. She doesn't know the man. Ma turid ayyuha rajul. He said, I am thirsty. Can I have some water to drink? She brought him some water. He got the water and then he stayed there. Again, she opened the door. She found him staying there. She said, Ya hada, mal julusu ala babi dari. Why you are sitting here? I don't permit you as a man to sit here. I don't know you. So don't sit here. At that time, Muslim stood with a broken heart and tears in his eyes. A few days ago, he was cherished by the people. People were around him. Today he finds no refuge. He stood there. He said to her, Ya amat Allah, wallahi laysa li fi hadha al misri ahlun wala ashira. I have nowhere to go. I have nowhere to stay. Man ant, identify yourself. What's your name? Let me know you. قال لها أنا مسلم ابن عقيل خذلني أهل الكوفة. I am the messenger of Imam Hussein to you. I am the one that you invited me to come to you. I am the one who was dispatched by your Imam and your leader, Imam Hussein عليه السلام. At that time, she opened the door for him. She invited him to go inside her house and قطع به الدرب ذيك المسية وصل بيته ونده راعي الحمية انقطع به الدرب ذيك المسية وصل بيته ونده راعي الحمية يا هل هالبيت ما عدكم المية يا ترى من العطش قلب فطر نصيا طلعت للعفيفة وسقت الماية وقالت قوم شنهي قعدتك هاي لا تقعد يا عقلي ونور عيناي روح الهلك قلي تشاهلك وين ون ون يتقطع من هالفايات يا هالحرة هلي ما هم بالبلاد ون ون يتقطع من هالفايات يا هالحرة هلي ما هم بالبلاد. I am alone here. I am lonely. I have no friends, no one, no supporter, no family. I am Muslim ibn Aqil. She invited him to go into the house. He spent the house. She offered him food and a drink. He did not eat. He spent the whole night in communion and prayers with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew this is the last moment, the last night of his life. He stood for prayers, for dua, for munajat the whole night until the break of the dawn, and they realized that he is hiding in this house. They surrounded the house. After a fierce fight where he showed much courage, he was captured. Muslim ibn Aqil was wounded and captured, and he was brought to Ibn Ziyad ila Qasr al-Imara, to the headquarter, Qasr al-Imara. There Ibn Ziyad, after a long conversation with him, he ordered him to be beheaded. He was handcuffed. He was taken to the terrace. When he reached the terrace there,
اتجه صوب المدينة قال السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، يا عد من حيث أتيت فإن القوم قد غدروا بنا. My greeting, my salam, my last salam and farewell to you, ya Aba Abdullah, the one who sent me here. You know what happened to us? People deserted us. People left us. People abandoned us. Ya Aba Abdullah, do not continue your journey to Kufa and to Iraq. Go back to Medina. ثم صلى ركعتين من الصلاة ثم أوقفه السياف وضرب عنقه. He was beheaded and his body were thrown to the street. Allahu Akbar ya Muslim. Imam Hussein, even on the day of Ashura, when he remembers the martyrs, he begins with the name of Muslim. Ya Muslim ibn Aqil, ya Hani ibn Urwa, ya Zuhair, ya Burir, ya Ashab al-Safa wa Fursan al-Hayja. فيا ابن عقيل فدتك النفوس لعظم رزيتك الفادحة، بكتك دما يا ابن عم الحسين مدامع شيعتك السافحة، فلا برحتها طلات الدموع تحييك غادية رائحة، لأنك لم ترو من شربة ثناياك فيها غدا طائحة، رموك من القصر إذ أوثقوك فهل سلمت فيك من جارحة، وسحبا تجر بأسواقهم ألست أميرهم البارحة، والمقدر قضى وشاعت أخبار رموه القوم من قصر الأمارة، وهان انجتل عقبة وبقدار مظلمة ولا بعد واحد يصلها، مصيبتهم مصيبة صدع الأجبال ومن بعد المشي بتشيب الأطفال، يا بشفت مسلم يجرون بالأحبال، يا صاحب لا تظن صارت مثلها.
نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله. Please raise your hand, your attention, your hand and your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these solemn moments of dua and prayers and supplication. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Amman yujibu al-muttarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء، أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء، أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء، أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله. اللهم اكشف السوء عنا وعن جميع المؤمنين. اللهم اقض حوائجنا للدنيا والآخرة. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم اجعل كلمة الإسلام هي العليا. Let's recite this together for our imam. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. واجعلنا اللهم من أنصاره وأعوانه.
I encourage you again to help the majlis financially, inshallah. There are boxes there. They asked me, so when you leave, inshallah, don't forget the boxes. Pay some attention to them. May Allah bless you, inshallah.
وبلغ اللهم أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.